Rosie, tugging Vimes's arm. "But I can tell you've impressed them." "Ow! You're not bent double and making bubbling noises. Come along, mystery man." Vimes stared ahead, looking out for the blue light of Pseudopolis Yard. Somehow it'd all make sense there. But when he got there, there was no blue light over the archway. There were just a few lights upstairs. Vimes hammered on the door until it opened a crack. "What the hell's going on here?" he demanded, to the nose and one eye that was the visible totality of the occupant. "And get out of the way!" He pushed the door back and strode in. It wasn't the watch house, not inside. There were the familiar stairs right enough, but there was a wall right across the charge room, and carpets on the floor, and tapestries on the wall, and a housemaid holding a tray, and staring, and dropping the tray, and screaming. "Where are all my officers?" Vimes yelled. "You leave this minute, do you hear? You can't just come in like that. You get out of here." Vimes turned and confronted the old man who'd opened the door. He looked like a butler and had picked up a cudgel. Perhaps because of nerves, or maybe just because of general elderly tremors, the tip of the cudgel waved and weaved under his nose. Vimes snatched it and threw it on the floor. "What is going on?" he demanded. The old man looked as bewildered as he was. Vimes felt an odd, hollow terror welling up inside him. He darted back through the open door and into the wet night. Rosie and the aunts had melted away in the darkness, as night people do when trouble looms, but Vimes ran on and into King's Way, pushing aside other pedestrians and dodging the occasional carriage. He was getting a second wind when he reached Schoon Avenue and turned into the driveway at number one. He wasn't sure what he'd find, but the place looked normal and there were torches burning on either side of the door. Familiar gravel crunched under his feet. He went to hammer on the door, but steeled himself not to and rang the bell instead. After a moment, the door was opened by a butler. "Thank goodness," said Vimes. "It's me, man. Been in a fight. Nothing to worry about. How is—"
"What do you want?"
said the butler coldly. He took a step back, bringing him more fully in the light of the hall lamps. Vimes had never seen him before. "What happened to Willikins?" said Vimes.
"The scullery boy."
Now the butler's tone was icy.
"If you are a relative, I suggest you inquire around at the tradesman's entrance. You ought to know better than to come to the front door."
Vimes tried to think how to deal with this, but his fist didn't bother to wait. It laid the man out quite cleanly. "No time for this," said Vimes, stepping over him. He stood in the middle of the big hall and cupped his hands. "Mrs. Content? Sybil?" he yelled, feeling the terror twist and knot inside him. "Yes?" said a voice from what Vimes had always called the ghastly pink drawing-room, and Sybil stepped out. It was Sybil. The voice was right, and the eyes were right. And the way she stood was right. But the age wasn't right. This was a girl far too young to be Sybil. She looked from him to the prone butler. "Did you do that to Forsyth?" she said.
There's been a mistake," Vimes murmured, backing away.
But Sybil was already pulling a sword off the wall. It wasn't there for show. Vimes couldn't remember if his wife had ever learned to fence, but several feet of edged weapon is quite threatening enough when wielded by an angry amateur. Amateurs sometimes get lucky. He backed away hurriedly.
"It's been a mistake. Wrong house. Mistaken identity."
He almost tripped over the fallen butler, but managed to turn this into a staggering run through the doorway and down the steps. Wet leaves brushed against him as he blundered through the shrubbery to the gateway, where he leaned against the wall and gulped for air. That bloody library. Hadn't he heard something once about how he could walk through time or something there? All those magical books pressed together did something strange. Sybil had been so young. She looked 16. No wonder there wasn't a watch house in Pseudopolis Yard. They'd only moved in there a few years ago. The water was soaking through the cheap clothes. Back home somewhere was his huge leather greatcoat, heavy with oil, warm as toast. Think. Think. Don't let the terror take control. Perhaps he could go and explain things to Sybil. After all, she was still Sybil, wasn't she? Kind to bedraggled creatures. But even the softest heart would be inclined to harden when a rough, desperate man with a fresh scar and bad clothes barged into the house and said he was going to be your husband. A young woman could get quite the wrong idea, and he wouldn't want that, not while she was holding a sword. Besides, Lord Ramkin was probably still alive, and he'd been a bloodthirsty old devil as far as Vimes could recall. He slumped against the wall and reached for a cigar, and the terror twisted him again. There was nothing in his pocket, nothing at all. No pantweed slim panatellas, but, more importantly, no cigar case. It had been especially made. It had a slight curve. It had always nestled in his pocket since the days.